broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Space Cadet Bar and Scratch Kitchen in the Heights.
Don't sweat the technique.
It's the Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank. I'm Branham. Brian is out here. We're at Space Cadet in the Heights. Austin Rodriguez, A-Rod back at Gal. Come out to Space Cadet. They're usually not open on Mondays, but they're open today for us. Also for Championship Monday, the NCAA Tournament Championship tonight. UConn, Purdue, Astros play the Rangers. Final game of the series. Astros have a chance to split. You wouldn't believe that with as many people complaining about the Astros that they could split on the road against the Texas Rangers. But some news. Get out here to Space Cadet first and foremost. If you're here by the third inning and then the Astros win, they're going to give you a free beer. So there's that. That's awesome. Great spot to hang out with us. Great spot to have a drink. And their food is fantastic. Their food is to die for. So get out here to Space Cadet in the Heights. Hang out with us. Can't make it today. Come out here anytime. Right before the show, you heard the Killer G's talking about this, Gallant and George. Ari Alexander at 2:17 tweeted, breaking, the Astros are calling up right-hand pitcher Blair Henley, who will start tonight in place of Framber Valdez. Multiple sources tell KPRC2. Henley, a 2019 seventh-round pick out of Texas, will make his Major League debut. I've never heard of Blair Henley. Obviously, we're burying the lead here. What is wrong with Framber Valdez? Where is he? What's going on? What is happening here?
Extremely disturbing news. A lot of people on pins and needles right now based on everything that the Astros have already been through. Very unexpected. And with a chance to, like you said, get the split in the series, bounce off the momentum of last night into possibly getting out of Dodge on their first road series with a split, that would be great. And now you've got a guy that no one, I don't believe, has really ever heard of. Even the most diehard Astros fans, I'm not sure how much they knew about him. Spencer Arrighetti, when we were at the Space Cowboys game on Friday, pitched, so I guess he wasn't available, obviously. So they went to another guy in their rotation, and it's going to be real interesting because that offensive lineup for the Rangers is pretty darn good.
Yeah, the question is, what's Framber? Like, what? This is a spot start. This is an emergency start for Blair Henley. Mm-hmm. Like, his career numbers in the minors are actually abysmal. 4.47 career ERA. He's only made one start this year. Gave up 3 runs in 5 innings last year in Double A in Corpus. Had an ERA north of 5 over 100 innings. So play the over. Play the Texas over. You're getting the Framber number, and now Blair Henley's going to get the start, which is terrifying. But the question here is, what in the world's wrong with Framber Valdez? And I don't think that there's any way to tell the answer here. I heard Joe like saying, well, you know, Ari Alexander, no offense to him, he might be wrong. I've never seen Ari Alexander break news that was wrong.
He's got some good sources. I don't know who they are or where they come from, but he's got some good sources.
I have a pretty good idea of where they come from. I think they come from minor league sources because all of his breaking news comes from the minor leagues. It's like a guy gets called up. It's a situation like this where a guy's making a spot start. Every source, every time I've seen Ari break a story, it's been about a minor leaguer.
That's
so he's got minor league sources, and I think that's why he doesn't know that Framber is not – he doesn't know what's wrong with Framber, and that's why nobody else has this right now. Chandler doesn't have it. Brian McTaggart doesn't have it. Ari has the angle from the minor leagues because that's where Ari gets his sources from.
I thought that's interesting you said that. I didn't think that or know that. I thought that there was a time or two, I want to say in free agency or something, where he had someone – I know he's got some connections to the Mets as well too, but he had someone that was signing somewhere. But, yeah, maybe that's the case. Maybe it's just in the minor leagues. But he does – I don't believe he's wrong. I don't believe that when he puts stuff out there that I've ever seen him where he has been wrong. The Framber question to me, you know, we've seen just a plethora of injuries to pitchers in the majors right now. I was saying to Joe, you know, look at a guy like Shane Bieber who pitched very well in his first two starts, 20 strikeouts in two starts. Now he's done for the year. Multiple pitchers down for the year. Framber pitched really good so far this year. Better in his second start than his first start. It's puzzling. You hope it's nothing, but boy, you can't help but be extremely concerned.
It's not all the time, but usually whenever you have that elbow, like usually you leave the game. Mm-hmm. Usually it's something that forces you to leave a game. I don't know the case of Strider. I don't know if he left the game with his UCL or whatever. I don't know the case of Bieber. I don't know if he left the game. But usually when a guy, like we saw it last year with the Astros twice, Jose Urquidy didn't need Tommy John, but Jose Urquidy left the game. Luis Garcia, who did need Tommy John, like felt it and left the game. Yep. So you like more times than not, I would guess, that you leave a game whenever you have that. So like that's maybe – me putting a positive spin on it is that that didn't happen with Framber Valdez. Not completely, you know, dismissing that, because there's been other examples of guys that have to have Tommy John surgery, that it flares up after the game, they pitch through it or whatever. So, we just have no idea what Framber Valdez is forcing him to miss the start. I'm sure that it will break at some time today, and as soon as it breaks, we'll have it. But other than that, you're just guessing.
Because of the fact that it could be a variety of things, right? I guess it's the best advice is to not, you know, get too overly concerned and upset about it until the news comes out, because it could be something with someone, you know, a personal matter, family member, something happened somewhere, and suddenly, you know, he had to do what he had to do. You just don't know. But, of course, the first assumption and the first thing that everybody's thinking about is, God, I hope he's not hurt. And obviously everybody that's an Astros fan is thinking that based on what their pitching staff looks like right now.
Could have ate some bad steak in Dallas. You know, could have been as simple as that. So who knows? We'll be all over it, though. We'll look for it anytime. Anything that breaks, we'll let you know. Good, bad, and ugly from the Astros weekend. They haven't completed this series against the Rangers, the four-game set, but they lost the first two. They won yesterday. You want to start with the good? You want to start with the bad?
Your call. Could go either way.
Okay. Well, I'm more of the positive of the two. So I'll go with the good. Ronel Blanco, 14 and two-thirds, no-hit baseball. In my mind, he's pitched himself into the rotation. Like, whenever Verlander comes back, hopefully Framber makes his start here coming up. Who knows about that? That throws another wrinkle into things. If Verlander comes back in a week and a half, Framber is okay, and you're going with a five-man rotation, Ronel Blanco has pitched himself into the rotation. He should not be involved in the conversation of which starter goes to the bullpen.
Not at all. I mean, he's earned a spot in that rotation. I was very surprised. I thought no matter how many pitches he threw, as deep as he went into that game and getting into 100-pitch-plus range last game, I was a little bit concerned about where he would be with his arm and also what the pitch count might look like. But boy, oh boy, I mean, the changeup has been a extremely effective pitch for him. He pitched his tail off again last night, and it's great to see, because obviously they needed it desperately with the situation of their staff, and he has been a huge bright spot for this squad.
It's crazy. Like, it seems legit, because, I mean, last year he was a fringe big leaguer. He made more starts in the minors than he did in the bigs. He didn't really throw that changeup a whole lot last year, and now it's like, okay, we're going to throw this changeup into the mix. It's two starts. Like, let's, you know, pump the brakes a little bit, but two starts that are super exciting. He's given up one hit in those two starts, 15 combined innings, has not allowed a run. His command was a little bit shaky yesterday, but got out of all sorts of trouble. This is fun. Like, this is awesome to see a guy who you really didn't have high expectations for. You thought he was a big league arm, probably out of the bullpen when everybody was healthy. But to see this kind of start, it's like, maybe the Astros really have uncovered something. Maybe Dana Brown should get a lot of credit for converting him into a starting pitcher.
They've had a knack in the past of finding guys that weren't rated in the top 100 and prospects that have been able to step up a little bit. But this is a guy that, look, it could be just what the doctor ordered in so many different ways. But if he's a guy you can plug and play that can be that kind of effective for you, and you assume that when JV comes back, that he's going to be, you know, top of the rotation stuff yet again, and you've got the rest of those guys waiting in line, what a pleasant surprise that would be to be able to have a guy like that be that effective and then be able to kind of plug other guys into the bullpen roles where you are struggling to try and find arms and find guys that can get outs to get it to the back of the bullpen, which you assume is going to settle down and be just fine as well.
All right, what good do you have, Blankers?
Yordan. I mean, to me, Yordan, the bomb last night, sorely needed. But we were saying early in the season he was hitting the ball hard. He just wasn't getting results. It just seems to me like, you know, he's starting to find his swing. He had mentioned to Espada before they hit the road, you know, I found something. You know, my hands were a little off. Boy, he looks like he's going to settle back in to be the guy that they need him to be. And that is a perfect recipe for a team that needs that power bat in the middle of the lineup.
How many RBIs do you need from Yordan Alvarez? Because this has been the big conversation.
For the season?
Yeah.
I mean, in a two-hole, I mean, the obvious answer is 100 or more. But, I mean, I would say, yeah, I'll say that. I'll say about 105.
I think 100's a lot out of the two-hole, but that would be fantastic. That would be a really good season. Yordan Alvarez right now, when you factor in what he did yesterday, he's on pace for 97 RBIs. He's also on pace for 97 runs. So, like, this whole thought, well, you know, Yordan's not going to get these RBI situations. And I don't think Yordan, like, to your point, I don't think he's been on fire. Like, he's had some good games. He had the two-home run game. He had, of course, the three-run homer yesterday. But it's not like Yordan Alvarez is in one of those stretches where you can't get him out. Like, his numbers, for Yordan's sake, are, you know, kind of pedestrian. He's going to find his stroke and have a two-week, three-week, you know, tear where he's just unconscious. Yordan Alvarez is on a 97 RBI pace. And this whole, well, he's not going to get these RBI situations. Well, he's on pace for 97 RBIs, and he hadn't went on a tear yet. I would say that that's pretty good. I would say that's a lot of RBI opportunities. So just kind of, you know, taking a shot at those that say that Yordan's not going to get enough chances batting in the two-hole. I disagree with that. That was great to see the three-run homer because all the offense you got yesterday. But there's going to be days like that. There's going to be days whenever Yordan, Altuve, you know, hopefully Tucker, Alex Bregman, he'll come up in a second, that they pick you up and they win a ball game for you. I'm going to go with Rafael Montero for another good, to stick with the good of what's going on with the Astros. Rafael Montero has not given up a run since his first appearance, which I hesitate saying this because I don't want to jinx him. I'll knock on this wooden table right now. Four outings in a row that Rafael Montero has not given up a run. You know what his ERA is?
I don't.
193. 190. Is Rafael Montero back? Is Rafael Montero back to where he's pitching at the back end of a big league bullpen?
I'm not going to say that because that last out last night, I kind of.
I mean, he's a fly ball pitcher.
Yeah, that was hit pretty good. But, look, I hope he is because we talked about the biggest glaring weakness in this team right now is that middle of the bullpen. They desperately need him to be the Rafael Montero of the second half of last year. I'm not even going to go back to a year before that. I'm just going to need a guy that's better than serviceable, that when you plug and play isn't guaranteed to give up a run or two, that can get a hold, you know, can hold a team down until you can get to your power arms. So let's hope so. I hope for everybody's sake that he is back.
Yeah. And look, it's five appearances, so you can't go crazy about the five appearances. But I rather see a 193 ERA after five appearances as opposed to last year when it was probably 1193 after five appearances. And then the final good that I have. Do you have another good?
Go ahead.
Anyone have any good? 713-780-3776. Last one that I have. Jake Meyers has the third best OPS on the Astros right now. Jake Meyers.
That's crazy.
Jake Meyers, he does not have a stolen base, though.
Oh, I thought I had one last night.
He does have the third highest OPS on the Astros right now. So, like, it's cool to see Jake Meyers produce offensively. And, look, I don't think he's going to sustain the number that he's at right now, but just be average to above average, and then with his defense, he becomes an average to above average to maybe even a pretty good option in center field. The two Astros ahead of him in OPS are actually Jose Altuve and Jeremy Peña. So, like, Yordan's not ahead of Meyers. Tucker's not ahead of Meyers. Of course, Alex Bregman's not ahead of Meyers. It's nice to see some production from the bottom of the order. I list Meyers here, but you could just as easily list Jeremy Peña.
Sure.
Because 8-9, you have two of your top three OPS guys right now.
Yeah, look, I mean, the fact that Peña's hitting over 300 right now is great. The fact that it looks like whatever he was doing, tinkering with his swing and making the changes that he made, looks like that they're paying off because he does have a little bit more pop and lift, as you had mentioned, but also the fact that he's hitting for average, he's not striking out, he doesn't look silly when he's missing pitches, that's good. And, you know, obviously the have Yiner still settling in, too, in the middle of that lineup is a big thing, too, for him to be another guy hitting over 300. It's nice to see that you can rely on a guy like that when your top of your lineup is still kind of getting right.
Any good? 713-780-ESPN. Do you have another good, Blankers?
I think that's
Brian, do you have any goods? Any no goods from Brian? Jeez, it's just an ever-pessimist, huh?
You guys cover the goods.
Oh, okay. Any good? 713-780-3776, 5038, good. Blanco in the bottom of the lineup. All right, let's get to the fun stuff. Let's get to the bad and the ugly. 713-780-3776. What's the bad and the ugly from the Astros over the weekend? Also, why is Fromber scratched tonight? Why is Fromber not starting tonight? Wrong answers only. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live from the Space Cadet. 713-780-3776. The number, we're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. ESPN Houston on YouTube. Blankers is at Pac-Man Joel. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN975 and ESPN925. I've been telling all of you for what seems like ages now that Gentle Ben is the best. It's the age-old truth. The Gentle Ben is the best. It starts with the finest ingredients, classic time-honored distilling methods. Gentle Ben uses a revolutionary technology that eliminates impurities for the cleanest, smoothest spirit you will ever taste. You'll love what's not in Gentle Ben, including VOCs. What are VOCs? Volatile organic compounds. The Genobin purification process takes out these volatile organic compounds, which can lead to coughing when you're drinking the other brands. Don't get the other brands with volatile organic compounds. You don't want any of that. You get all the flavor with Genobin, none of the burn, and none of the VOCs. The vodka, the gin, straight bourbon whiskey, cash strength bourbon, all are fantastic. All are in my rotation. What's in your rotation? Next time you head to dinner or go to the bar, ask for Genobin. Look for Genobin at the liquor store, or if you're looking for plans, head to the Genobin tasting room in Alvin. There's also Genobin at Minute Maid and Toyota Center, so you can get some Genobin there. Why not? Just stop by their kiosk at either one of those arenas or stadiums. Also, head to Genobin.com to learn more about their incredible story, the legacy that is Genobin, and you can also order straight from the website. That's right, the vodka, the gin, the bourbon, the whiskey. Order all of it at Genobin.com, Genobin.com. Genobin, all the flavor, none of the burn.
You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Space Cadet Bar and Scratch Kitchen in the Heights.
We are indeed at Space Cadet in the Heights. I saw Brian eyeing the menu. Todd, GM, the suits upstairs are here. You know, they're not going to miss out on a good drink and a good bite. The suits are here. Todd has a beer. I see Joe has a beer. Joe's eating for the second time, I see.
He says he was an official taster of trial wings earlier. Now he's going full board to his own meal.
That's a good gig if you can get it.
Yeah, I guess so.
I would love to have that gig. I didn't see that Joe offered me any of those wings. I noticed that. What are you eyeing, Brian? What are you going to have here at Space Cadet?
The wing I had pretty earlier that Joe also had one was pretty tasty. I think I'm going to go with wings.
These guys are eating twice before we're eating once.
I had one wing, Jeremy.
How many wings did we have collectively?
Joe said one. He had one as well.
Collectively, we had one.
No, I'm saying Blankers and I. You've had the one.
Blankers, well, the wings are gone by the time you guys got here.
I see Joe eating a wing. 713-780-ESPN. Good, bad, and ugly from the Astro weekend. Also, why is Fromber not pitching today, according to Ari? Ari's called, said that the Henley fella, a former Longhorn, I guess once a Longhorn, always a Longhorn, but he's going to make the start tonight for Fromber Valdez. So why is Fromber Valdez out? Good, bad, ugly, all of that. 9062, Fromber Valdez is out because he's throwing a hissy fit about not having Martin Maldonado as his catcher. What's the validity in that?
I think very low, based on the fact that he threw to Caratini the last time and threw very well. Maybe Victor could be his new Maldi.
Yeah, I think that the temper tantrum would have come before the season, not now. 60-30, Hunter Brown experiment over on the trading block right now. Abreu just cut him, and I say we trade for Pete Alonso. So that's a lot there. Trading Hunter Brown whenever his stock is at his lowest isn't good business. Now, I think there is a conversation about moving him to the bullpen whenever you're whole again. If you bring back Verlander and you go to a five-man rotation, look, J.P. France has been solid. If we're going off of results, J.P. France deserves to be in the rotation over Hunter Brown.
Absolutely.
Ronel Blanco deserves to be your ace if we're going off of results. So there is a conversation about Hunter Brown. Obviously, it's not that the experiment is over or that you're just trading him right now. That's no way to do business. Oh, well, this really big commodity with very good potential isn't doing as well as we would like in his second full year in the big leagues, so let's trade him. That's idiotic. That's stupid. Now, moving him to the bullpen, I think, is in play.
Well, without question, because of the fact that, like you said, I mean, we didn't expect this from Blanco, but if this is what you're going to get, he's done it now in back-to-back starts, hopefully there's no reason to believe that the wheels are going to fall off. He can continue to do that. Then you've got guys that are getting outs and keeping you in games, and if he's not capable of doing it, and that disaster that happened over the weekend being blown out in his start, not a good look for him, and you got to do what you got to do, and maybe it's an eye-opener in the process, and it sends a message that, hey, no matter how much you were thought of in years past, this is a different team with obviously the same set of goals. We're going to do what we got to do to kind of give us a best chance to win, especially right now when we're down on arms.
Kublai says Fromber took the day off to try to get his Panda points back. I update on that. They did update. They gave me my Panda points back. Not only did they give me my Panda points back, but they gave me a free box entree. So Panda Express hooked me up. They're good in my book again. I cannot wait to dive into that black pepper chicken and that Kung Pao chicken with super greens as the side because they are healthy. 0635, Fromber Valdez is out due to having an appointment at his hair salon to get his extensions installed again, signed JD. He did have those last year. Now, I don't want him to have the extensions. He pitched really good last year without the extensions.
Yeah, maybe it's because of the fact that when we said he came into camp in shape and he looked like he had tightened some things up. Maybe also he was a little bit more flexible and wasn't weighted down by all the hair and the beads and such. But, yeah, I was thinking similarly along those lines. He got a Joe Buck scare when he got he was trying to get braids put back in and maybe got a little infected.
Eric, the driver, the ugly, Jose Abreu, the bad brown. I was interested to see, or I was intrigued rather, to see Espada put Abreu in that game late yesterday.
Like as a defensive replacement,
is he better defensive? Like they're both bad.
Now he did make a nice play on the last play of the game on the scoop from Altuve's weak throw.
Like Singleton's not a good defender either.
No,
like I don't know if one's better than the other.
But you remember,
they're both just bad.
Was it the Yankee series where he made two errors in one inning, where he tried to short hop a ball and it hit the heel of the glove and bounced out, and then he couldn't stop another ball? And it's like, yeah, his defense has fallen off. I was a little surprised last night too when they put him in late.
And it's also a bit of like talking out of both sides of your mouth because they want to give Jose Abreu days off to get him off his feet. That way he's fresher, and they think that would lead to better results. Well, you're putting him in late in the game. You're kind of taking away the day off. Now it's like a half day off. So, like, what's the full result of having the half day off if you believe full days off are going to lead to better productivity? Although saying productivity with Jose Abreu sounds like that's a contradiction anyways. 6-9-4-1, good. Altuve, 10-game hitting streak. He's had a great start to the year.
Oh, no doubt.
Really good start to the year. The ugly is Altuve's base running. He got picked off. Was there another one over the weekend? I can only remember the pickoff at first base. I don't remember another. I think that's the only one.
I think that's the only one, yeah.
Which you can't get picked off in that spot.
Nope.
Come on. 7506, why is Fromber not starting today? He looked at the eclipse too long. Everybody's using that one, so get some fresh material. Hopefully that is it, though, right? Like, if all the things it could be, would you be cool if he looked at the eclipse too long? Because that's probably only one start. I'm assuming it's not going to blind him for good. Maybe
now,
it could
says
blind
it's
him for
supposed
good.
To.
Blind him for good?
I mean,
if you don't wear the glasses, it is possibility.
I mean, if you burn your retinas, that doesn't sound like a one-game absence.
You don't need the retinas, right? Do you need retinas to pitch? Do you really need retinas
to pitch? Well, six walks in his first start suggests maybe his retinas were already burned.
If there is one Astro to look at the eclipse too long, who would it be? Fromber's up there.
You know exactly my
Jake
answer.
Myers?
Yes,
yeah.
Indeed.
Or Chaz.
But definitely Jake is at the front of the list because it looks like he already did it once too often.
Jake, Chaz, Fromber's
I was surprised Joel didn't say Montero.
No. You
would have said Mashinsky's, but he's already been sent down.
Yeah. But
well, I mean, there's a difference between being bad and stupid, I think.
Yeah,
well,
look.
Sure. They're not mutually exclusive, though.
No,
as my kids would
not.
Say, the S word. If I'm going to associate the S word with an Astro, it's definitely going to be the center fielder because you know how I feel about the deer in the headlights, both offensively and defensively of years past.
4294 at a softball tournament this weekend in Lake Jackson and heard a familiar voice in the stands.
Wasn't in the stands. Was right there in the middle of the action on the field.
That's what I was about to say. I thought you coached.
Oh, yeah.
So you weren't in the stands. He was in the stands. You
yep.
weren't in the
yep.
stands. 8818, Fromber has tickets to the championship game tonight. I wouldn't mind that because that means that he wouldn't have significant injury. Now, he was going AWOL from one of his starts isn't great news, but it's better than Tommy John.
Yeah.
I would take that.
I think if you go with, like, top five kind of we dodged a bullet type things, food poisoning, something happened to a relative or something like that, where you know, a family issue that had to be taken care of, got a virus, got sick, just like a flu bug or the cold would be, I think, first three off the list where you go, oh, okay, maybe had an accident or something like that and got, I don't know, I would hate to say to his pitching hand, but a lot of times guys we know have gotten injured doing things other than baseball related and get injured to a finger or an arm or something like that. Those are four right there, but those would be where at least you're going, God, thank God it's nothing like major structural damage to the arm.
Everybody's saying the same eclipse joke, every single one. 713-780-ESPN. Wrong answers only. Why is Fromber Valdez not making his start tonight? Hopefully he doesn't have Tommy John. it's a fair fear to have right now because
maybe
every pitcher is having Tommy
is
John.
Is the eclipse joke that he stared
he's just
at
looking
it.
At the eclipse. Every single text week, not everyone. But
at least be creative to say he blacked out in the middle of the afternoon due to the eclipse and hit his head on something.
Okay. Yeah, that's a little bit more creative. It's an additional domino. I like that.
Ocho
Frommer's not starting tonight because he's watching the national championship game at Space Cadet while drinking Gentle Ben. It's a great call. I mean, that's a great way to spend a Monday evening. That's the way I'm going to spend my Monday evening. You should spend your Monday evening doing the same thing. All right, what bads do you have from the Astro weekend, Blinkers?
I was torn between two really bads. To me, I'll say that the bad was Hunter Brown because of the fact that was just awful. But the only reason why I say that is because that was just one outing. My ugly is another pitcher. I'll just leave it there till we get to it.
Who?
Ryan Pressly.
Ryan Stressly.
Just the reaction
to yesterday.
Yeah, but this is the reaction yesterday too when he finally got out of the inning too. It was like, you know what? You're better than that. You're supposed to be getting guys out, lights out more times than not. The start of the season last year, obviously with the World Baseball Classic, there was a chance for you to be able to use that as an excuse. This year so far, I guess the only thing you could say is he's not comfortable going back to his former role of setup type guy, but he hasn't been good.
Yeah, he was. Hopefully, that was just a blip in the radar. But you're right; he hasn't been good. Good to see him get on track ish yesterday. I have several bads. First off, Carl Ravitch.
Yeah.
So hard to watch a game called by Carl Ravitch. So it's
funny because I'm watching the game last night, and anytime he says anything that's even remotely questionable, I'm thinking Jeremy's going to crush that.
He was bouncing around between saying RBI and RBIs. He doesn't even know what he wants to say. Like, at least pick a side. It'd either be pick a side, be wrong, or pick a side, be right. He's going both ways. Not that there's anything wrong with that. He screwed up before the first pitch. He's looking at the lineup. They say in the Astros lineup, which he can see it on the monitor. It's right in front of him. It's on his scorecard.
Is it first base?
No. He goes, they love Yiner Diaz's bat, and they're giving him a day off his feet today.
Yep.
No, they're not. He's literally catching, as it says in your graphic and as it should say in your scorecard. Like, he screwed up before even the first pitch.
That's the first one that caught me going, Branham's going to crush him.
Man, it's painful to listen to Carl. And it stinks because I like Eduardo and I like Cone.
Yeah, they're good.
I like those
guys. Did you see, too, the ESPN graphic prior to that? It was like one segment earlier. They had multiple designated hitters listed for the Astros and
really?
No one at first base.
I didn't see that. I wonder if that's what screwed them up.
Maybe, because I was looking at it, the same thing. Obviously, I would think that Singleton has to play first, but he could play first, and so could Yiner.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't notice that. That's another bad one. I haven't seen Yiner play first this year. I wouldn't mind it, though, because that leads me to my second one. Yiner is a catcher. Yiner defensively hasn't been pretty. We know he's got a cannon. We know he's got a rocket for an arm. But Yiner receiving pitches and blocking balls in the dirt hasn't been good. He's not full Evan Gattis. Never go full Evan Gattis if you're behind the dish. But Yiner Diaz's receiving ability needs some work, and I think that's why they moved this bullpen catcher to the dugout so he can work to Yiner Diaz in between innings.
Yeah, they said that they're shuffling some things up. The Sugarland bullpen catcher will be in the bullpen for the rest of the year, so their bullpen catcher can help the two catchers. I don't know that other than full-time major league coaches that are in the dugout helping the catcher. I guess if it's defensive wise, but if it's calling pitches and things, you would think the bench coach and the manager and the pitching coaches are going to be in on that. But
I think it's talking to him about receiving. Like, hey, we didn't love the way that you caught that 2-2 breaking ball and you flipped the glove. This is what you need to do. I think it's to give real-time coaching as opposed to waiting until after the game, because he doesn't receive well, he doesn't present well, he doesn't frame well. If I'm Jim Crane, I'm trying to get the robo umpire immediately, because it doesn't matter how you frame and you receive as soon as you get a robo umpire. But then with balls in the dirt too, like, he's sitting there trying to pick it like a shortstop instead of, hey, let's block it. You got that chest protector. Yeah. Let's block it. So that's been something to monitor. He's not Evan Gattis, but he's not great defensively there. The first base production, I don't care who it is, whether it's Jose Abreu, who's got a 212 OPS, or it's John Singleton, who has a 368 OPS, they're awful. Like, these guys, they would be awful in AAA. Like, that first base is the one position. I mean, there's multiple positions, but first base is one of the top three, maybe the most offensive position on the field. Maybe DH, maybe one of the corner outfield spots. But you should be getting productive offense from that spot, and the Astros aren't getting productive offense from that spot. Not only are they getting, like, worst first base production from that spot, they're getting, like, worst starter in baseball production from that spot.
That's what I was thinking, like, when we were down at Sugarland on Friday, and you can't do any worse than the two guys. They're not getting you any power. They're not doing anything from an average standpoint. They're not doing anything to really help you. If you want to bring Joey Loberfino up just because of the fact that maybe he's a boomer bust, but at least there's a chance he might hit some home runs, put him up there, do something to change it up, and maybe get Singleton out of there. It's an embarrassment what they're putting out there at first base every night. And Abreu looks like, I don't know, it looks like he's got a whole lot of I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, maybe he's just slumping and feeling it. Brandon Belt's out there. I mean, I'm gonna bang on the Brandon Belt drum until Brandon Belt either signs with the Astros or signs somewhere else. And then the last one that I have, Alex Bregman trying to get paid by hitting a lot of home runs. Eduardo Perez said he leaned up this offseason, which is
I heard that.
Not what went down. Bregman himself said he gained 20, 25 pounds. Bregman's trying to get lift. I think it's noticeable. I think he's trying to hit home runs so he can get a huge contract. And what it's leading to, because he has a fade swing, is weak pop fly, weak pop fly, weak pop fly, and I'm tired of seeing it.
Yeah, I think you're onto it. We were talking about it when he came up early in a count with runners in scoring position at the end of the homestand and popped it up to the catcher. And you just look at it and go, hey, one of the great things about the way he's always been at the plate when he's been an Astro is not only his eye at the plate and being able to lay off bad pitches is, he also can adjust his swing based on the situation. He's not doing that. He looks like you said, he looks like he's trying to drive everything, to put everything in the seats. And it's not working. And he's good enough and quirky enough with how much he studies his swing that he should probably start adjusting now and trying to make a change because it's not working.
The King of Twitch, Bregman, is not a home run hitter. No, he's a guy who hits line drives.
But he wants to be a home run hitter.
I know, and it's leading to him stinking. Any other bads before we give it to the audience? All right, 713-780-ESPN. What was your bad? What was your ugly from over the weekend for the Astros? They're trying to split the series. They can win today with this Hensley guy on the mound. Hensley on the mound for the Astros, starting in place of the injured. Well, I shouldn't say injured. Starting in place for Framber Valdez. 713-780-ESPN. Wrong answers only. Why is Framber not getting the start today? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Space Cadet in the Heights. Get down here. If you're here by the third inning and the Astros win tonight, they're going to give you a free beer. All right, when we come back, more of the good, the bad, the ugly, and why Framber is not pitching today. Wrong answers only. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Are you tired of repairing potholes? Of course you are. Who likes potholes? No one likes potholes. Maybe your driveway of your business, it stinks. You always try to throw asphalt on it, whatever you're trying to throw on it to cover up that pothole, and it just keeps coming back. Well, stop doing that. Get Third Rock Renewables in your life with their patented technology called mechanical concrete. Maybe you need a new parking lot. Maybe it's a road. Maybe it's a driveway. Maybe it's a lay-down yard. Maybe you have some land. I don't know what you would need it, but if you have potholes, this is the solution for good. Third Rock Renewables patented technology. It's mechanical concrete, the only low-cost, industrial-strength, sustainable base, which transforms end-of-life tires into a virtually indestructible building product. That's right. These end-of-life tires, they have no more good in their life except for filling these potholes because of this mechanical concrete. Call Third Rock Renewables at 713-305-0507 and find out how this mechanical concrete can cut your maintenance costs by 75% or more while lowering your carbon emissions. So you lower your carbon emissions, you save 75% on maintenance costs, so you're going green and you're saving green. How could you not like that? Visit ThirdRockRenewables.com to fix these potholes for good. 713-305-0507 or ThirdRockRenewables.com.
You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Space Cadet Bar in the Heights.
We are broadcasting live at Space Cadet in the Heights. He's Blank. I'm Branham. Come hang out with us. If you're here by the third inning of the Astros game and the Astros win, they're going to give you a free beer. Can't beat that. And they do that each and every day. It's not just today. It's each and every day. Great spot to watch the national championship game coming up tonight as well. Their happy hours, fantastic. Daily specials, really good. Wednesday, 50-cent wings, 250 imported bottles, $4, 16-ounce draft. That's awesome. How about a good steak night? I love a good steak night. Thursday, $25 steak night special, $5 Maker's Mark Old Fashioned. Great. Friday, $2 tacos, chicken or beef. That's a cheap dinner. I love that. $5 bottomless chips and salsa. All-day brunch on Sunday with a Bloody Mary bar. So each and every day, great time to be at the Space Cadet in the Heights. 713-780-ESPN. Why is Framber scratched? Wrong answers only. I like this one. 3311. Framber is stuck on 45 coming back from missing Eclipse Totality in Kerrville because it was too overcast.
It's a good one.
There's a traffic I heard was really bad. I was driving yesterday, and you know how they have, like on the highway, they have the little, what are they called?
Digital readers.
Digital readers. There we go. And on the digital readers, it was like, come early, stay late, wear red, go Cougs. No, I didn't say the last part. But it said, come early, stay late, expect traffic delays. Maybe Framber got stuck in traffic in Kerrville. He underestimated how many people were going to be involved to watch this on the highways, and he can't make it back to make his routine of his start.
Yeah, I forget what they call the bowling alley of best visibility for the eclipse, but I know that
The path? Is it a path?
There's some certain technical term for it, but definitely up north in Texas had a lot of good viewing spots. I think you're right. Is it Kerrville, and there was someone else on
there? Innis was one. This was one of the like,
NBC was live from Kerrville, I think, but definitely the Indianapolis they said was like the hub. They opened up the Indy 500 to fill the stands and then let people out on the track right before it happened. But some of the videos from some of the day games and some of the ballparks around the country, a lot of people are out there checking it out. I know I-10 was a wreck, but there was a wreck on the way here, but that had nothing to do with the eclipse. But you're right; they did say like once it's over. Expect that everyone is heading for the hills, and it's going to get messy on the highways.
Yeah, maybe that's what happened. 713-780-ESPN. The Rangers just posted their lineup a little bit, and they're starting their lineup that they would start against right-handed pitching. So another clue that no Framber Valdez on the mounds. Looks like Ari is gonna be right. Ronel Blanco selected the American League Player of the Week. By the way, well deserved.
Yep.
I mean, you go 14 2/3 of no hit baseball, and you. Don't allow a run, and you pick up a couple of wins, you should absolutely be the player of the week, and he is.
They only gave up two hits. The one that broke up his no-hitter last night was Semien, 80 miles an hour, just to the left of second base where Altuve couldn't get it. And then the second hit that they gave up late in the ballgame was another 80-mile-an-hour kind of bleeder over the second base bag.
Yeah, that was I saw some people – you want to hear some people tweeting about ball that don't know ball.
Okay.
I saw the dialogue out there that they should take Blanco out after five. Okay. Like, that's – I wouldn't have. I can say, all right, like, I kind of see your point. Like, he's starting to fade a little bit. He threw a bunch of pitches in his first start. I mean, he threw 105, but that's a lot for a first start, especially for, like, a fringe starter who's kind of been a reliever. I can understand the logic of taking him out after five. But then when people criticize that person for being, like, wrong because he pitched a scoreless six, he's like, I wasn't wrong. I was right. He gave up a hit. What? Like, because, like, that's what you're looking for from a pitcher is a no-hit inning? Because what I look for in a pitcher is a scoreless inning. Mm-hmm. If he gets no hits in the inning, that's just an added bonus. But if you pitch a scoreless innings in the bigs, that is a successful inning, really, however it's done. It could be stressful. I might not like the stress, but you pitch a scoreless inning, that is a win in my book. So the fact that he gave up a hit and then you're dunking on people that you were right, you're a moron.
Completely. The other thing that I would be very concerned with, especially because of what he did, I just look at, you're right, a scoreless inning's great, and also pitch count down. Don't have a big inning with a whole lot of pitches thrown coming off of what the 105 he threw and the fact that the pitch count was getting up there.
Yeah, that was that one bothered me a little bit. I was like, you got to be kidding me. 7612, the fact that we played a closer, I think he meant paid, the fact that we paid a closer and he's not closing games. Closed the game yesterday. Closed it yesterday. That this is a concern maybe before the weekend, but I don't think it's a concern over the weekend. He didn't use them whenever they were down in game one and game two. He used them in a safe situation yesterday, and he allowed the tying run to come to the plate, but he got the job done.
Yeah, it wasn't perfect by any means, but you worry about Garcia. A lot of people were worried about Garcia scoring. The fact of the matter is you're just worried about keeping that 3-run lead, and they weren't going to try and put another guy in scoring position and really extend the inning. So he scored, and he ended up getting out of it. I'll just mark it up as progress. He's been a slow starter in the past. I don't believe that Josh Hader is much to worry about, and I think he'll be just fine.
Yeah, I'm fine. And if that's not a concern over the weekend either. Josh from Seabrook joking here, just like the 17 World Series with the Texans injuries, maybe Deshaun, Framber is another of the Astros pitching staff being sacrificed for the Texans to win the Super Bowl. D'Amico's jersey number was 59. Framber wears 59, Super Bowl 59. It's pretty good symmetry.
A lot of thought put into that.
Pretty good symmetry. Would you?
Ooh, don't.
Would
say
you
it.
Give up Fromber's UCL for a Super Bowl win? I would.
I think so too.
Yeah, I would. Take
I think
it.
I would too.
Make it unanimous. Absolutely would.
Would you give up? Okay, let's make this a little bit more difficult. Would you give up the UCL of every Astros starting pitcher for a Super Bowl in the bigs?
Nope, can't do it.
I would. I mean,
can't
you're locking in a Super Bowl. I would.
I can't do it because I think they still got a chance, and they got a chance in the next couple of years. And the fact that I enjoy watching baseball all summer long, and it would be excruciating
would.
To watch this team with no starting pitching.
Yeah, I think I'm with Joel. I don't think I could go that far because it feels like you're not only giving away this season, but it almost feels like you're giving away the I know we're using increments of time and not windows, but with all the guys they have coming up for new contracts coming the coming year, you're kind of giving away a bit of their window here.
Yeah, but you're winning a Super Bowl.
I know.
I'm taking the Super Bowl.
I was with you for one pitcher.
I'm taking the Super Bowl.
I might even go two or three pitchers.
Because like
every starting pitcher they have, I would probably back off.
Blanker said that you have a chance to win the World Series. You're locking in a Super Bowl, and you've already won two World Series. Give me the Super Bowl. Every UCL in the Astros starting rotation can be exploded. Give me the Super Bowl.
There's several. I mean, in the case of Lance, we expected it anyway, so we can deal with that. Verlander, people are losing their mind about Verlander yesterday, so maybe people think he already did something to his. But, yeah, I can't see doing it to the whole staff because I enjoy watching that team every night.
Would you sacrifice every starting pitcher's UCL for the Astros for a Super Bowl? 713-780-3776. HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Why are pitchers' arms exploding, though? What's our theory? Tyler Glasnow had a theory. What's your theory? Why are pitchers' arms exploding? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Space Cadet in the Heights. Today's a little rainy. You might have noticed that, overcast. I think the rain's coming down tomorrow, and you're in a tough spot because you probably should have mowed over the weekend, but you didn't want to because it was the weekend and you wanted to have fun on your weekend. You wanted to go golf. You wanted to have a drink. We understand. We get it. But now it's rain. You probably can't go out and mow today. You probably can't go out and mow tomorrow. Maybe your best chance Wednesday. But that's an issue. That's a chore. You're already dreading it. You don't want to do it. Well, you know what you should have in your life? Sinlawn. Sinlawn is the best because Sinlawn will get your weekends back. They'll get your Wednesdays back. They'll get your nights when you can have a drink back, your afternoons from work back. You're wasting your valuable time each and every time that you have to go out and mess with your yard, whether it's to mow the grass, whether it's to pull some weeds, whether it's to try to fix these dead spots in your yard. All of these chores that you don't want to put up with, will stop doing that and get Sinlawn. Sinlawn is the best in the business and what they do, and it improves your life too. Stop mowing, stop pulling weeds, stop throwing money into an ugly yard that you're embarrassed of people seeing anyways. Sinlawn artificial grass is the best on the market. Sinlawn is artificial grass. Sinlawn offers a lifetime warranty with products that are made in the USA. The quality is top shelf. It's elite. The people are elite. It's fully insured, fully bonded. You don't have to worry about a thing. They have their own in-house crews, too. They don't contract anything out. Sinlawn's number one priority is making their customers happy. Sinlawn is perfect for your yard, whether it's your patio, kids' playground, your pets, no more tracking mud inside. Or how about that putting green you've always wanted? Jeremy over there at Sinlawn, I saw the post he had on Facebook where he did a yard. His most recent one was Sinlawn. They have pavers there along the backyard. The Sinlawn, which is nestled up nicely to the pool and then tucked away in the back corner of the yard, is a really nice putting green. Get that in your yard. Don't mow anymore. Have some fun with your backyard in a yard that is perfect all the time, whether the sun is out or the rain is falling. Head to 975sinlawn.com to learn more. That's 975sinlawn.com, 975sinlawn.com. Sinlawn, control the process from yarn to yard.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Space Cadet Bar in the Heights. Here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank. I'm Branham. We are broadcasting live, Space Cadet in the Heights. They opened up for us on this Monday. Usually not open on Monday, but they are today. So they're honoring their Wednesday wing special today, which I'm about to partake. 50-cent wings on Wednesdays, but they're also honoring that today. So 50-cent wings. 713-780-ESPN. Would you have every Astro tear his UCL for the Astros winning, or the Texans winning a Super Bowl? The UCL, of course, the tendon in your elbow leads to Tommy John. Uncle Barney says that he would have every Astro tear their UCL, not for a Super Bowl, but for U of H National Football Championship.
That's a stretch.
Well, it depends on who your allegiances are for.
I get
if you're
it,
a Houston Cougar, you absolutely would take that.
I would
take that.
I would rather have the basketball national championship.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it depends on where your rooting interests are. Uncle Barney also says Fromber's not pitching tonight because he's playing golf with John at East River 9. That's a good line.
We'll be out there on Thursday.
Grade the joke. 713-780-3776.
I believe it
grade
was
the joke.
It was pretty good. I would say 7.
9-3. I just spit everywhere. 9-3. That was a fantastic joke. It runs in the family. What were you saying, Blankers?
Someone, I think it was Dustin, on Twitter, they were posting screenshots of late in the game, the Mavs-Rockets game. And they're like, is that Granato right behind the bench next to the Rockets? And sure enough, there's Granato in his Clutch City t-shirt holding a beer, looking at somebody like, what the hell just happened? And they're like, yep, sure enough, that wasn't even a joke. That's John.
I was watching an Astro playoff game. I can't remember if it was last year or 2 years ago. And they were just having like the pan, you know, crowd, like the panoramic shot or whatever, where you're panning through the crowd. And I was like, that's Granato sitting like five rows deep and behind the, I think it was behind the visiting dugout. But it's like, yeah, that's Granato.
His boy Chad's got tickets. You know Chad.
Yeah, but he wasn't with Chad. I think he was with Wendy actually.
Chad and John and Wendy and Chad and his wife, I think they hang out at the different games.
Yeah, but Chad wasn't there.
Oh,
like I would have seen Chad unless he was getting a beer or something. Dab says I would kiss Joel for a Super Bowl. Well, would you accept that kiss for a Super Bowl, Blankers?
No, sir.
Come on, sacrifice a little bit for a Super Bowl.
How many Super
Bowls? Depends on where.
How many?
It depends on where.
Three
he'd kiss
Super
my
Bowls.
Ass.
Three Super Bowls.
There was a
the mouth.
You wouldn't take. You wouldn't let Dab kiss you on the cheek for a Super
cheek,
Bowl.
Cheek, maybe.
I would let Dab kiss me on the cheek for a Super Bowl.
I absolutely would.
There was a
my ass cheek.
There was a drunk U of H fan.
Why
was after
that, hold on? Why is that better?
Because it's
why is that better?
He likes those sort of things.
No, because there's a chance. Because it's a lot closer to the exit only, and I don't have to get it near my mouth where the germs can get close.
There was a
I didn't answer my question, but let's keep rolling.
Well, the day that we won the Big 12 championship, we clinched it against Kansas. There was a drunk alum that I know well, friend. He came up, gave me a big hug, and kissed me right on the cheek. It's like, well, I mean, I can't do anything about that now. He's giving me a big bear hug. I can't fight back. He gave me a big old – he's got a goatee, too. Kissed me on the side of the cheek.
Can I just tell you the most awkward that I've ever been in that situation is – Dick Bavetta, the one that raced Barkley for charity.
Yeah.
Before games, before I was on the radio, and I would go out on go out to check on Foley and Peterson, and we had a couple things we had to cross off before jump ball. And whenever Dick Bavetta was there, he would always go to give you the hug with the handshake with it. And Foley started laughing at me one day, and he's like, just wait. I go, I don't know what you're talking about. And I went to give him kind of the bro hug with the handshake, and he pulled me in. And he smacked me on the cheek the first time. And then weeks later when he came back, he tried to turn it. And I looked, and Foley was just laughing at me. And he goes, he says it's because he's Italian. I'm like, okay, I'm done.
I think Italians do that. I think that's true.
On the mouth?
Well, I think they usually do it on the cheek. I think I saw that.
I think the cheek is definitely something.
Does Granato kiss Dell and Lance every morning on the cheek?
I couldn't tell you. I'm not there. I'm not there. But they do that like on mobster movies and stuff.
Sure.
They like give you kind of a little, like, you know. So
yeah,
I think
it's not it's not both cheeks. It's just kind of.
It's usually like one. I see it both times sometimes.
I think European people do both cheeks.
Yeah, I've seen it sometimes. 6941, I would sacrifice every Texan and Rocket career for 20 years of the guarantee of winning 10 more World Series. That's
a lot.
That's a lot. We're talking a lot. I'll sacrifice Forrest Whitley's UCL. I mean, I think it already has been sacrificed. He made his return the other
day. That's not enough.
Oh, did he really?
You got to sacrifice more than that.
He gave up a home run to the leadoff guy, but got the next three out. Apparently, his sinker is like at 96, and his RPMs is like rivaling Fromber. Like, his stuff is sick. It's just a matter of staying healthy and, like, him putting it all together. But I don't know if that's ever going to happen. What do you think is going on with all of these pitchers that are – tearing their UCLs, their elbows exploding. Spencer Strider, Bieber, the latest.
Yep.
Verlander was asked about it, called it a pandemic. What do you think is going on with all these pitchers' arms exploding?
I think it's a combination of things. I think when I look at it, when we've talked in the past about pitchers having to get in shape because it is definitely taxing and different for them to have the pitch clock and always over your shoulder looking over the fact that, you might – but I think that's just getting in shape. I understand that you have to get ready to throw it a lot quicker, but I believe that's more cardio than anything else. The big thing to me is I think it's got something to do with the baseballs themselves because I heard the Glasnow interview as well. But I think overall, Major League Baseball, and we've talked about this in the past with other subjects related to the baseball – Major League Baseball owns Rawlings. Major League Baseball is responsible for the baseballs. And you have to be able to be proactive in the fact that, I get it, you want to eliminate the sticky stuff from the game. Then you've got to do something to get a consistency with the baseball that is that appeases both the hitter and the pitcher, so that maybe there's a little bit more tactified cover to it, or a different material, something with the leather that can be done so that the ball can be gripped in a way so that even the hitters have said, look, it's in our best interest, too, if the pitcher knows where it's going and can throw it at least in that vicinity. And if they can't because it's too slippery or the seams are too low, that's a problem. I think a lot of it stems from the fact that there's inconsistencies all the time with these baseballs, and I don't think enough has been done to try and rectify that and do something so that it can be the best of both worlds. The pitcher has more control of it, but yet the hitters still don't feel like it's an unfair advantage.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of it comes to that. I do think it's probably one of the variables, but, like, Tommy Johns are kicking up in high school. Like, there's Dr. James Andrew, who's, like, one of the first ones to do these Tommy Johns, and has probably done more Tommy Johns than anybody, the latest great surgeon, Dr. El Atache. But Dr. James Andrew says that he's seeing this spike at the biggest at the high school level. So this is before any sort of Major League Baseball. And Major League Baseball has tried to add their own substance to the ball before they ship it out, things like that. We all heard DeGlasnow, you know, the moment that he got rid of the sticky stuff, he had to dig deeper into the hand, blah, 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 blah. I think it's part of it. I think it's a variable. I don't think it's the biggest thing. I know Lance talks about this all the time. Travel ball, whenever kids are playing, whenever they're very, very young and doing it year-round, I don't think that's good. I think you need to take a significant break from throwing just for the health of your elbow. The breaking balls when they're young, it depends on the theories you believe. Some people say it's bad. Some people say it's good. I've read studies that it's actually good to start throwing it early because it kind of builds stuff around your UCL, builds up the muscles, and then you're doing it at a younger age when you're not throwing as hard yet. If you pick it up whenever you're like 12, 14 years old and you're already throwing it hard, that it actually increases the chances of tearing the UCL. I think that it's because we're looking for speed. I think it's because we're looking for RPMs. We're trying – like, we live in this – what do they call it? They call it the Astros were like the big innovators in this. They use it in golf too. The little box that reads the RPMs and it reads the velocity. It's not StatTrack. TrackMan. TrackMan.
Okay.
We live in a TrackMan era where we're looking for velo and we're looking for spin, and everybody's going to be noticed based on velo and spin. So everybody's throwing as hard as they possibly can, as early as they possibly can. What does that do to a muscle? It's going to force that muscle to explode, or the tendon to explode. So I think it's more because everybody wants explosive fastball, explosive breaking ball, and that leads to an exploding UCL. To me, that's the leading thing, but I think everything's in play here. I really don't think there's a fix. I don't think that there's anything that's actually going to fix torn UCLs, because we want, like, if you're a team, if you're a general manager or whatever, or somebody that's drafting players, you're going to draft a pitcher that has velocity, that has spin, because they're difficult to hit. So I don't think there's any going back.
I think all things can be true and all things can contribute to it, because when you look at it, look, we were told when we were growing up that you weren't supposed to throw a breaking pitch until you were at least 12 or 13 years old. Then you watch the Little League World Series, and every kid that takes the mound is snapping off pitch after pitch after pitch. I don't know that I agree that it gets your arm ready for it so that you can. It's actually – it doesn't hurt it, because of the fact that your arm is still developing. You're still going to, you know, mature, and the muscles and the bones and everything are trying to – and I think that if you start throwing it at a younger age, it can be taxing on those joints, the elbow and the shoulder. But I think to the point that you said Lance made too about the travel ball and stuff, it's not only that they're pitching year-round, especially down here, because it used to be you go sport to sport based on season to season, and it helps you in so many ways with, you know, different coordinations and all those other things. But it's good – when we used to say this about Yao, it's good to have some time off. When you play year-round and you're playing the same sport, it's one thing if it's legs in basketball. But when it's an arm or arms in baseball – yeah, that's a lot of taxing effort on your arm all the time. And let's be honest, when these kids, not only for the speed, but the pressure of, we got a big game tonight. And so coaches and players, no matter, they're going to try and kind of slide by the guidelines as much as possible, have their best pitchers throw as many times as they possibly can. And you get to a point where it's a lot of extra taxation on that arm for a pitcher younger now, and more often than it was in the past.
Yeah, I don't think there's any reversing it, though. In fact, I think it's only going to get worse. Now, if I'm building a roster, though, why in the world would you spend big money on a pitcher? Like, it seems it's inevitable for pitchers to get Tommy John.
A lot of times.
Yeah, once you get the second one, you're pretty much toast. After one, you're fine. Like, the numbers, now you're out for 12 months, but your numbers are fine. Like, in fact, some people think it actually makes you a better pitcher.
Stronger.
But the second one is what, like, absolutely destroys you. But if you're building a roster, why in the world would you spend $245 million on a pitcher? Why would you go 7 years on a pitcher? Like, develop them, then use them for the first 6 years that they're under club control, and then when they become, you know, available to be a free agent, see ya. I'm not giving the pitcher a seven-year deal nowadays. Even the Lance McCullers contract was super affordable, like on an AAV point of view, but it was pretty lengthy, and you feel like that one is something that's really, like, hurting you and putting you behind because you don't have that money to spend. The largest contract for Major League Baseball in history. This is all time. Gerrit Cole, $324 million commitment. Look, he's had a great start to that contract, but now he's got elbow issues, and that seems like that's going to be a ticking time bomb. Who knows what he looks like after that? Strasburg was the second highest money commitment at $245 million. He just retired. He didn't do anything on that contract.
And think about that, Jeremy. You think about the fact that Strasburg was shut down when they were making a playoff run because of the fact that he had reached his innings. They were going to be careful with him. And what happened? They were trying to prevent Tommy John. He had it anyway. Jabba Chamberlain before him, the Yankees bonus baby. They were like, we're not going to push him too far. He's on an innings limit. We're going to do all these things. He had Tommy John. He basically, his career was over. To your point, the most pressing here is, no matter what you do, I don't know if you can avoid it anymore, because if you go with the organizations that are going to border on the careful side and do the innings limits, no matter how big the game is, those guys are still getting them if they're power pitchers like Chamberlain, like Strasburg.
Yeah, but I'm talking about it from like a roster-building perspective.
No, I agree, because Fromber's coming up.
Yeah, like, I'm not touching a Fromber contract. Like, the Javier deal, like, maybe I don't make the Javier deal. The Lance McCullers, I like the Lance McCullers contract at the time because he got him at a low AAV. Now it was lengthy, and now that's coming back to bite you as well. So, like, all of these contracts, I wouldn't give a pitcher a long-term deal. Club control the first 6 years, and then short-term deals on veterans. Like, the trading for Verlander is fine because it's a short-term deal. You sign a pitcher later in their career on a 1-2-year deal where you don't have this long-term investment. David Price, $217 million. Didn't work. Clayton Kershaw, $215-ish. Like, that one worked okay. Scherzer, $210. That one probably worked okay. Here are the biggest contracts given to a pitcher that are active. Yomamoto for the Dodgers, who's never thrown a big league pitch, got $325 million. That was probably because of Ohtani. Gerrit Cole, we mentioned him. Steven Strasburg, he just retired. Jacob DeGrom for the Rangers, did not work. Aaron Nola, we'll see. He just signed that deal. And then Carlos Rodon for the Yankees.
Not really. Not so great. No.
Not really. Why would you give big money to a starting pitcher? It doesn't make sense, especially whenever their elbows are ticking time bombs.
There's no doubt about it, and there's no technology in the world that can tell you, hey, this guy's close, and yeah, they can look at it. You can see there's wear and tear on ligaments, but you just never know when they're going to go, and you're right. It makes zero sense. Now, the agents are obviously going to fight it. There are going to be teams that are so desperate to win or think it's going to put them over the top, the big money teams especially. They're probably still on a few cases. All it's going to take is one that's going to actually bite him in the butt when you lose a guy, and it's going to be a year or more paying exorbitant amounts of money to kind of set you back.
If I was a GM running a Major League Baseball team, I would not sign a pitcher to a long-term deal. I would refuse to do it. Jake on Twitter, even in Little League Baseball, and you have two kids who had to get Tommy John surgery while they were still playing Little League.
That's
unbelievable.
Insane. That's ridiculous.
That's insane. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. It's Championship Monday, not only in college basketball, which you can watch here at Space Cadet, or no better place in Houston to watch the College Basketball National Championship, but it's also Championship Monday in the Killer Bees Fight Club Tournament. Who's in the final and who wins? We find out next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.